We're thankful that you joined in with us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are in James 4, 1 through 12, and our peeps are still here. We have Hannah and Courtney and Hosanna. Thanks for coming, guys.
Yay!
Thank you. And we're going to go on, and we're going to start in verse 7. And, you know, we've been studying about drawing near to God, but also about submission and resisting the devil.
Yeah, when I was studying this last night again for today, I wrote down that really the resisting the devil, the drawing near to God, that it's our responses to God's generous grace. That if I really think about it, that these are the heart of what my response needs to be to his generosity. And if I think of it from that perspective, I don't want to do anything but respond these ways. And I remember when I learned the revelation of that if I resist Satan, Satan will flee. I was like, that's incredible. Like, what? I have that kind of God power in me that if I say, I resist you in Jesus, it's simple.
It is simple. And you know, the whole armor of God, we need to put that on us every day. I've got a prayer thing that I do, and I wish I could say I've done it every day. But I can sure tell the difference in my day when I don't.
Yeah, and I was talking with one of our new freshmen, Jonathan Stout, at a prayer thing that we had the other day in Blair, and he was telling me that he had learned the lesson in high school that if he didn't read his Bible every morning, he could tell a difference in how he acted at school that day.
Absolutely.
And I just looked at him and I went, oh, you're so beautiful. God's so good. This is just amazing. I'm so glad you're our freshman. He's ours.
He's ours.
Yeah. That's just so good. You know, and to hear somebody at his age that convicted and certain about God's word. And that is what this passage is about. James wants the people to understand. Here it is. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. And God does not make it hard. He does not make it hard for us to respond to his generous grace. Right. He makes it simple. We make it complicated. God, forgive us. We apologize, God.
We do.
I'm sorry. And so what we're going to do, I'm going to have Hosanna read for us James 4, 7 through 12 this time.
It says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?" May God bless the reading of his word.
Amen.
That's right.
That's so good. So I wrote down, because this was really cool. First thing I hadn't paid attention to, but I really wanted to emphasize, the word resist in Greek, you guys, actually has two words to define it in Greek. So for us, it's the word resist, but it means literally to stand, but not just to stand, to be against. And I thought, wow, isn't that beautiful? And I guess in my mind, I went back to playing basketball in school and how the coach would tell us to stand, and you know, in the armor of God, Sandy, where it says to stand, but stand firm to get your stance on. That stance an athlete gets where they're not just standing, but they have everything engaged so that they can be against whatever's coming. And so to get that kind of mental image in your mind when it says the word resist. So the first question I want us to answer is, what does it look like to resist the devil? What do you do?
I think that means like an active involvement in being with God. It's really ironic because yesterday I was supposed to share a proverb with my class, and so I shared Proverbs 3:7, and it says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and shun evil." So as you fear God, you're going to be turning away from what's wrong. So I think the first step is going to be going ahead and like investing in your relationship with God, and then naturally you're not going to be doing stuff that's going to lead to bad life consequences and choices and stuff.
That's beautiful.
They are consequences, yeah.
It also reminds me of the show that I watched when I was younger. It was like Bible Man or something that was really, really entertaining about this man that became a superhero, and part of his resisting of the devil, the bad guy, was quoting scripture at him. And that's also something that convicted me as I grew older, is like, how much scripture do I know to be able to fight the lies or the things that come up that want to pull me away from turning from those evil things and embracing them.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And Grant loved Bible. That's really funny, because actually the picture I posted on Facebook this morning, I think that may be a Bible man sword. And so he was probably portraying that. So I'm going to go ahead and say that quote, since you like gave the perfect segue. So there's this ancient writer, Hermas, that David Guzik quotes, and it's so, like, it was so beautiful. He said, "The devil can wrestle against a Christian, but he cannot pin him."
I love that.
And I think we forget that, because I think it was in the 1960s when the comedian made it pretty famous, "The Devil Made Me Do It," and that we culturally accepted this idea that we had no control over what Satan might put before us, and that he is greater than what we have of Christ in us. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. Needs to go.
That's right.
It just needs to go. And so that's one of those things. But Guzik had a beautiful list of things about resisting that I wanted to share. The first one that he put down, and you're going to be excited, Zana, because you summed up some of what he is saying. He's a pretty awesome theologian, so are you guys. One is, you have to stand against those deceptions. And I wrote down, that first starts with the mind, the thought process. The Romans 12 of, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." It starts where we stand against the deception. And so it's supporting what Hannah was saying, and that we have to be in Scripture. And for myself as a young woman, and this is crazy, I'll just share this because y'all will laugh, but it's funny. I was going to seminary, and I had, I don't remember, I think there were probably 9 females amongst 120-something guys in my class. And so women weren't necessarily common at that point in ministry. And I didn't grow up in the church and didn't know the Word of God the way all of them did. And I don't even remember who said it, but somebody's like, "So have you read the Bible?" I'm like, "Well, sure." But at that point in my life, starting off for a master's in seminary, I had only done what I would call Russian roulette. I would pick and choose based on what I thought was important, or based on what maybe I was having taught to me, but not necessarily for myself to receive the whole counsel of the Word of God. And God really convicted me I needed to read the Bible from cover to cover. So I went to the Christian bookstore at seminary. Here I am, a seminary student. That just, it's just so laughable, you guys. So embarrassing. And went in, I'm like, "I've never read the Bible from cover to cover. I'm trying to find one that I know I'm going to do it." And they were good and they were gracious, and that I found one that was really on sale and so I could afford it. But I did the chronological Bible, day by day, that has summaries for each section as to why they have it in this order. So it's actually the Bible in time. So not book, chapter, verse, but actually as it occurred. So the psalm is connected in with the battle, and different things are put in the section where it should be. And I read the Bible from cover to cover, and I was hooked. Because once I got the whole counsel, I could see it. And then I have been reading the Bible through ever since, and I think that was 1992. And it changed me. So how can we stand against those deceptions, as Hannah said, if we are not reading the counsel?
Right.
And the only way you can do it, so the armor of God that you're referring to, when it says the belt of truth, the belt of truth, by definition, is Genesis to Revelation. I do not actually have the belt of truth on if I have not read Genesis to Revelation. Yep. I'm actually wearing a piece of the belt, which would be the sword, which is taking a specific verse to cut in. You need to have the whole belt secure. And so the second thing that he talks about that we need to have is we have to stand against intimidations. And anybody ever felt intimidated in a circumstance?
Oh, yeah.
Many times. So not only are we lied to where it's you're not good enough, yep, you're not that, this or that or blah, blah, then the intimidations come in.
Doubt.
Right? Mm-hmm. And the insecurities and all the lies that come in from that direction. And that's where we have to know what God's word says so that we can counter it. And then the third one, he says, know that the devil will flee. He is a conquered foe. He does not have victory over us. He does not have victory over sin in us. And he does not have victory in the end. So why give him permission as if he does? And but we do. I don't know why. I don't get it, but we do. Okay, so now let's look at what do you do, each of you, in order to draw near to God? What does that look like for you in the moment when deception comes and intimidation comes and you can feel the little devil sitting on your shoulder? Wah, 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 wah. What do you do to draw near to God? Tell me what you do.
Well, I pray, but I also turn on my music in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have Christian music going, you're thinking about Christ instead of the world.
Okay. What else?
It depends on, like, how serious the situation is. If it's, like, really suffocating, then I think it's important to, like, call someone who, like, is strong in the word also and be like, I'm dealing with this and I know it's not true, but it's, like, oppressing me and I can't handle it right now. And then talking it through with them and praying it through it with them. Sometimes I'll discover, like, I've just been, like, tired through a day and I'll just start having a good friend come up and talk to me, and already that starts lifting my spirits. So being around someone positive can help a lot.
Okay, so the fellowship of the saints.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Words of encouragement.
That's important.
Worship, prayer, anything else?
Well, on top of just words, but I really like to write things out, and that's how I process really well. And so I have written for years and years, ever since I became a believer, about just straightly, directly to Christ, and about everything going on. But when I'm really struggling through something and need a process, and someone's not available, or it's something that I cannot immediately share, I go straight to writing, and it helps me actually fit, like, physically see what I'm struggling with, and it looks tangible for Christ to conquer it.
I'm a big journaler, too. That makes a big difference, writing it down.
There are some things that I want written down because I need to get them out of me, but I don't ever want anybody to see.
I've ripped those out.
And I don't ever. And so what I have done with those is, and I can type extremely fast, so sometimes what I'll do is I will sit down and I will type until I can't type anymore. And then
until it's gone.
And then I will, as far as the east is to the west, God, you've taken care of it, and then I hit delete so that I never risk it ever being seen by human eyes. And so that's one thing I've done with some prayers that I needed to really get out that were like, I think I might eat somebody alive if I don't do this, you know? It's like, I'm going to go to the ultimate sin, God. Good. These are so good. You guys are awesome. Did you have one you wanted to add?
I'm just the same. I journal, and I just write out truths that I know to be true. And sometimes I'll go to the Word and I'll find them, but other times I just, to combat the lies, I'll write down what I know is true. And then doing that just brings it, and I feel like it's like a battle in the mind where the truth is just beating the lies.
That's so beautiful. I do that too. And following the pattern of how Jesus says to pray, he says, you are holy. Hallowed be thy name, you are holy, is what he's saying. I try to always start with naming what I know of God's character. Because if I can list out what I know of God's character, guess what? Satan does not want to be in the presence of God's character. And scripture says God inhabits the praises of his people. And so by listing out what I know of God, I'm automatically doing the resisting so that Satan cannot be present.
Also listing out the child of God. And
yes,
what the Bible
I'm his
said,
child,
yes,
right? Yes,
I've listed those out too.
I do that times. Too. So I wrote out some things that Spurgeon said, and these were kind of cool, and it fits in. It's actually everything that we all have said. So the first one he says, start with worship, praise, and prayer. So boom, right off the bat, there you go. Ask God's counsel. So that's the counsel, which would be through the Word of God. Whether we're reading it in the Word of God or we're hearing it through a person or if it's through prayer, all three of those would be seeking the counsel of the Word of God, listing out the character traits of God. Enjoying God's communion. He's not talking about the Lord's Supper. He's referring to the actual fellowship of just bringing it before God. Mm-hmm. And the willingness to talk with Him and to be as if it's real and allowing it. I just remember one time I was praying and I had this person, they were like, wow, you talk as if you know him. I'm like, I do. And so it's like, good, let's talk, you know, okay, yes. And then the fourth one was that just in your general course of life, making it a habit of saying, God, I welcome you. You're mine. I want you here. I invite you in. And so a welcoming Christ into that. Okay, so what are some things that we get as a benefit because we've drawn near to God?
Peace.
Oh, yeah.
Love that one.
Okay. What else?
Joy.
Yes.
I feel like my soul is satisfied. Mm. It's like satisfying. A peace and rest, but yep. Just like your soul is just at rest and knowing that when you have God, you have everything.
And that fits in with the Sermon on the Mount where it says, you know, those who are pure in heart, they shall see God, and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. Mm-hmm. And so we see how these support what Jesus taught faithfully. I wanted to sum up, we have about a minute left, what Spurgeon had to say on these, and it's really cool. And that he said, when we are willing to draw near to God, we have all the things that we just said. We could actually list out all fruit of the Spirit. But we have help to resist the devil, based on James. We actually become pure. We get that pure heart. And because we have a pure heart, we see God, then we're able to speak well of others. And we're able to have our thoughts on that which is eternal and not temporal. Mm. And why would I not want to do that?
That's right.
So for those of you who are out there, be willing to humble yourself. Draw near to God. Resist the devil. And he promises he will be present for you. God will be available. God bless.